Stevens Lee High School band, the different ways that it influenced your life, and you were discussing the socialization of the band.
Yeah, I some friends were in the band, and but it seemed to me that my focus really was on trying to learn the music and, you know, being able to play and march and step and go this way and that way at the same time. I just really wanted to be able to do that as well as I could, and that was my mostly what the band, being in the band, was about, learning to be able to do all the things that Mr. Lennon was asking us to do, and which was learning the music, learning the halftime routines. It was just, there was just a lot to be involved in that, and I remember band trips, and I thought it was so cool to leave home with your little shirt and uniform and on a hanger and get on a bus and get off in somebody's classroom or in the room that they apportioned us to get dressed in our uniform is and compete and do. I always admired Mr. Lennon for the things that he got us involved in, you know, not just in town, but making sure we got to go places and do things.
Well, how far away would you travel?
I can't name the towns that we went to, but it was for the most part in the state. But it's amazing that, I know not just for me, but growing up in Asheville, the sense of there being a lot of other black people out there in the world was very, very limited. And I remember these trips that we made with the band, coming and seeing so many other people of color. It was just wonderful. I mean, that was a part of the travel experience that was there. I think we probably went to Goldsboro or maybe Raleigh. I don't think I ever came to Raleigh, but I'm sure we didn't have to go very far.
So it was exciting to see that there were more groups of black people out there than you had in Asheville.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we always did pretty well, you know, in competitive situations. I don't think we were stars. I don't know who, I don't remember who was.
So these were high school band competitions.
Yes.
Oh, did you ever win?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I don't remember going back home thinking, wow, we were great. I'm sure if I had felt we were shabby, I wouldn't have been all that happy going, because I did not like shabby. But I don't remember bringing any trophies back. But it might have happened. Our band as a performing group was not nearly as exciting as I remember as a concert group, which we did some of that, you know, as a marching band, because no doubt about it, it wasn't just the majorettes that were out there prancing.
You pranced
we
also.
We did a little bit.
Do you remember any of the steps?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, and they weren't. We were not asked to do that much step-wise in terms of formations and all that kind of thing. We did, but not just, you know, down and up like people do, like you see them swooping the instruments all around, and we didn't have us doing that. Mm-hmm. But for a person that grew up in a parsonage where I wasn't allowed to dance or anything, it was very, reasonably expressive,
right,
you know, to march in those kinds of formations.
So what did your parents think about that, you dancing in the school band?
They were very, it wasn't that much of that there, but they were very supportive of anything I did. I think anything all of us did. I remember when Miss Chappelle put on her dance performance, I think my mom made me this little thing up to here, and my I mean, it was obvious that I was going to wear this, but there was some talk among the church members about my kicking up my legs with this thing on.
Oh,
but there was
really?
Nothing about, my parents did not take that part. But
they didn't do anything.
No. Just stop you.
But did they come to watch the band?
Yes. In general, that wasn't the band. That was just a dance group that Ms. Chappelle organized. She liked. She liked dances. And
oh,
dance
she liked dances.
And she taught students different, all kinds of dance, really. And I don't know if it was just once a year. We'd put on dance performance in the auditorium.
Do you remember what kind of music you all danced to?
I know some of it was jazz. I don't remember the range of music, because I think maybe over the period I was maybe in five or six different dances, and all I remember doing some tap, and that was to jazz type music. I remember doing a little shaking.
A little shaking.
I remember what kind. I'm sure it was not classical. I don't remember any of these as being classical. I mean, European type performances.
Mm-hmm. So, what else about Stevens Lee do you remember?
Well, I remember, I think, that there was, I don't remember it as a place where I spent a lot of time studying and learning things. And my memory is not that great, but when I think about going off to college and what that was like, having some kind of discipline study, I know it was a very new experience for me to really have concrete work and expectations and
so you didn't feel you got that at Stevens Lee?
I really didn't feel that there was a lot of demanded and that there was a lot of curriculum content that was offered at the school.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
Well, I was in Myrtle Rumley's homeroom, and she's the person I remember best in terms of somebody that knew me well. And I liked her. But I can't say that, as I remember, I think I've mentioned that we were dealing with the core curriculum, which was a concept of teaching that was not easy for the students or for the staff.
The core curriculum. What was that exactly?
Well, there was some concept, and I remember my parents telling me that they had discussed it, that they had been called to this meeting, and the people from Columbia University had explained that we would be trying this new way of learning where everything that we learned was going to be presented as a cohesive unit instead of everything being segmented out as discrete subjects.
Is that interdisciplinary?
Yes, mm-hmm. I think that was the idea.
But it didn't work well?
No, I think it was based on a presumption that we would do a lot of library work, a lot of reading, there would be a lot of things pulled into what some basic structure. And to me, it seemed that there were a lot of people around school not really engaged in much other than lunchtime and social activities. I mean, it might not be that way. I know there were some classes like math, there were geometry and classes taught discrete, apart from this, and Mr. Fair, I think it was math. teacher, and foreign languages, and I guess if I had to, well, French, I don't remember any other language being taught, but I guess Mr. Dusenberry was maybe a favorite teacher.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot about him.
And stands out as somebody who really, I mean, when I went to Bennett, I was interested enough in French based on his teaching me there, mm-hmm. to want to take French some more. And of course, I finally did go to France, and I trace all of that to the interest in the language that he created, because he had a good pronunciation. And he had vocabulary. He was very enthusiastic about it. He had been to France as part of in the war, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously loved the language and loved the people, and he had enthusiasm in teaching, and that made the subject alive, you know, for the students. So that was a definite plus in given the circumstances, you know. I mean, really, it was a fortunate coincidence that he was there.
So you think that pretty much was a catalyst for you eventually applying for the Fulbright and going to France?
Yes, definitely.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
Yes, and it's really interesting, because when I was in France, and I was very fluent in French, and native people distinguished me from the other Americans, and you know, who were speaking French. I mean, they just said, I mean, they did not think I was American, because I was, you know, and it all goes back to my having had an ear for what he was speaking, and having picked up, you know, mm-hmm. having picked mm-hmm. up on it, and sort of, well, I had some native teachers at Bennett, so, but I was way ahead, you know. I mean, these were also refugees who were at Bennett, mm-hmm. who were able to encourage me, you know, with my French. But it started at Stevens Lee, yes.
So what would you give credit to for your love of books?
I think probably, even though, I mean, growing up, there was not a lot of reading in the house, except, I mean, I have all these books that are on the Testament, and the library that was in our house, you know, and my mother and father are both students. My mother particularly gifted,
Students of what do you mean?
Well, just bright people.
Okay, so they love to read.
They love to read. My mother was more, her reading was more like, when she would read anything, but she was a seeker after truth, so she would read all these, not anything anybody wrote, but she was always looking for new ideas, and even though she was my father's wife and a wife of the parsonage, she didn't necessarily buy the whole trip, you know, right. of what was happening in church and mm-hmm, God, mm-hmm. the God talk. She was always looking beyond that to other views. And so I knew about people reading, and I knew about them. There just weren't the books in the house or that I was interested in. And even though we had a black library.
You had a black library? You mean the public library, yes.
Well, not the public.
The black public library for the black people.
Right.
Yes.
And I remember my parents going there, and I know I've been there a couple of times, but it was not a habit to go there and get books to read.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just, my first really reading a lot started at Bennett. And it wasn't so much even then that I read, because most of what I read about black literature, I mean, I ended up teaching that. and reading an awful lot, but I had instructors, an instructor in particular, Bennett, who would give me books, you know, and steer me here and there, and I was just amazed at how much you could learn from books, you know, and how many experiences.
Who was that instructor?
It was James Randall. Jim Randall was in Boston. He was not a missionary. I don't know how, or a refugee. I don't know how he ended up at Bennett.
He was a white man.
Mm-hmm.
He used to give you books.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember a couple of titles of books that he gave you?
He gave me books on all the world religions. He gave me books, and he took me to Unitarian meetings downtown Greensboro.
Really?
Yes. And these were all white people. And
what was that like?
Pretty cold. But he would only invite me when he was going to present the program. What they would do is we would meet in the white public library on a Sunday when the library is closed, and then they would, when I went, he was presenting a topic, and he'd give me the reading, and he'd ask me to help, participate in presenting the topic. And it was just an intellectual discussion of some ideas, and that was it. But he also gave me books on poets, which was some of my first poetry reading. I know Randall Jarrell was at Greensboro in those years, and he... had me reading all his poems and Ferlinghetti, just whatever was happening, mostly white literature. As a matter of fact, I think I got through Bennett. The only thing I ever read that I knew was by a black person that I remember was The Invisible Man. Of course, we had Owen Dotson. People like that would come to the campus and put on pageants, and I don't know. Is that a name familiar to
you? No, who's Owen Dotson?
Well, he's a pretty well-known black poet. So
he was from North Carolina?
No.
He's not from North Carolina. But he would come through.
He's well-known.
Do you have any of his books here?
No, I have something that he did at Bennett. What was it he did? Some kind of pageant. I have some program of a pageant that he did at Bennett. But his poems are in the anthologies of black poetry.
I don't recognize that name.
So
interesting. I'll have to look. Go home and look. I've got several of those anthologies. I'll go look them up. Is he in the Big Norton one that just came out? Do you know?
I haven't looked at that one, but I would be surprised if he wasn't.
Okay, I'll look him up. So. I know we got past high school, but I want to get back to that for a little bit. You talked about discussing things at home that had to do with race. Did you discuss any of those things in the classroom at Stevens Lee? Race relations, for example, or that you all were going to a segregated school. Was that a topic of discussion at all?
And to my recollection, it was not. I think... trying to think of where that would have been. I mean, in Miss Rumley's classroom, it was not. We talked about family stuff. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I remember was her talking about this family, and it turned out, and I was just sitting there thinking, getting annoyed that she was being so saccharine about this little bougie little family.
What was she saying?
It turns out she was talking about my family.
What was she saying?
I don't know, but I remember when I started getting the very uncomfortable feeling, she was talking about this girl that brought the babies, the young children to school, and she was such a this and such a that. And I realized that it was yours truly that she was talking about. And I just... I don't remember all of that discussion, but it was not deep. I don't say that just because there are a lot of people like Miss Romney. Miss Romney was a member of our church as well, as any number of the people
a lot of the teachers.
Tolliver was, I mean, the principal and a lot of the people at Stevens Lee, yeah, were members of Dad's the church. So,
so would you say that your church was the church where a lot of the black professionals went?
A good number of them did, yeah. I think there was an Episcopal church there. It might have been some going. I think Mrs. Tolliver was an Episcopalian. But I don't remember there being any discussion about race at Stevens Lee. If I had thought about this, I would have been interesting seeing if my brother would have triggered any memories in that area for me, but of my own recollection, I don't remember anything really. I mean, I'd look at my daughter and see how fired up she was about all the stuff that was happening at her high school. And then I think about, well, what was my high school about? Relationships and band. And I mentioned that I did learn some French, but I think the whole core curriculum thing was not a happy circumstance for me, you know, and I don't know how other people experienced it, but I never got focused on anything concrete, and I didn't have any milestones in terms of learning things and feeling empowered or feeling, it was a safe place, and I had some friends that were not church people, so in that respect, I enjoyed the, you know, knowing some different people.
Did you get to go places with them? Did your parents allow you to hang out with them on the weekends?
No, we didn't do any weekend hanging out. Church. No.
So no Saturday afternoon movies or anything like that?
We went to the movies a lot to some extent as a family.
Oh, I see.
Not my parents, but the kids. My brothers. They took us. We went down and sat in the balcony and watched westerns and stuff like that at the movie theaters. I do remember Randy 49. That was his jersey number. My mother let me go to the movies. I think I was a senior. In the afternoon, we sat in the balcony. I thought it was going to be so cool. Boy, he had a lot of country in him. I don't know. It was very awkward.
What do you mean by he had a lot of country in him?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be... I don't know what I thought it was going to be. All I know is I've been kind of watching him ride in on the bus, get off the bus. And somehow, I don't know, by him playing football and me playing in the band, we kind of had a few words, and I decided that was special. And it was just really somebody I didn't know and wasn't... His ways were just... He was quiet, probably. That was one of the things. And what he did say just was very awkward. I don't know whose fault that was. I say he was country.
So he rode in on the bus. So he did come in from one of the outlying towns. Yeah. Do you know where he came in from?
I think he was from Black Mountain.
He was from Black Mountain. What was his name?
Randolph. What was his last name? I don't know.
But he played on the football team. Mm-hmm. Did you bring up an interesting issue, the difference between students that came in from outside, for example, Black Mountain or Weaverville or Mars Hill, and they rode the bus in, and students who lived in Asheville? Was there a lot of interaction, or were there different cliques based upon where students came from?
I think there was a lot of interaction. I don't think that was a significant thing for students, you know, whether you came on the bus or not.
Okay.
One of the things that seemed like to me, the people who came in on the bus, a lot of them were light-skinned people, the ones from Black Mountain particularly. I don't remember Weaverville particularly, but it seemed to me they were, and course, that woman, she's not light-skinned. I mean, what am I trying to say? Barbara Gardner was one of my best friends. I didn't see her. I didn't think of her as country or different or anything.
The proctor. Oh, she's from Black Mountain.
She came in on the bus.
She was one of your best friends.
Oh. In high school. One of the things that I lost is, she founded her own advertising agency, and I wasn't surprised. She wrote these poems to me. I had a whole book of them.
Oh, wow. You still have them? You don't keep in touch with her anymore?
I never did. After high school, I didn't ever know what happened to her. It's interesting when you ask me how far did we go, because I remember coming to Bennett from Greensboro, from Asheville. My folks came twice a year, I think, and I think I went home once. That was a big trip, to be making. Some holidays I just stayed on campus, or I went home with somebody from Burlington or somewhere.
So you only went home, once in 4 years at Bennett?
No, I mean, I go home for Christmas.
Okay.
And then for Easter, I might go stay somewhere else. I mean, my folks would come down for a church meeting, something, bring me a box from home. But the sense of isolation, I mean, the sense of being cut off.
When you're in the mountains.
Yes.
You felt cut off.
Yes. I mean, I didn't see it as that, but it was hard to get out of there. And it was just like another whole world out once you got out, and it was just like, wow, look at this. I mean, that was my experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed up there for I don't know how many years. Most of the years of my childhood.
And you haven't lived there since high school, really?
No. Been back just a few times. My brothers go up there looking for the Holtz, Cecil and Charles, and trying to put their memories back together. They had a lot more freedom to know the nooks and crannies of Asheville than I did, and a lot more curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I was oldest of five daughters, and I had a lot to keep me busy at home. So,
excuse me. We had to take a short break, and we are winding down this interview, which I think has been a very rich interview. And I'd like to revisit some of these issues. I really enjoy talking to you. But right now, you were telling me about your brothers and how they returned to Asheville, but you don't have the same sense of connection because you didn't have as much freedom as they had. But I think I'll ask just one or two final questions before we end the interview. And what I want to know, though you left Asheville and went to Bennett College after you graduated, did you hear about what happened? Did you hear about the closing of the school in 1965?
I did hear that the school had been closed. Probably many years after that, from a classmate.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people in Asheville. My mother stayed in touch with them more than I did, and we were all aware as a family that Stevensley had closed.
What did you think of that?
Didn't think much about it. Lee Edwards had always looked very interesting. I don't know if that's where people finally went or not, but I had the same feeling I did about integration period, that we were losing something. And wasn't sure what we were gaining, in closing. It was hard for blacks to just go somewhere else, and for the places that they left to stay what they were. So had some mixed feelings, but everybody was under the impression this was progress. So it was, same time, hard to be sad. What we thought needed to happen. So I wasn't connected enough with Asheville or Stevens Lee to know the people who were involved at that time, and was fighting similar battles elsewhere. So everybody was trying to try on the new idea of integration, and didn't surprise me that Stevens Lee, which I guess, looking back now, maybe was a sounder institution and a stronger facility than, I mean, I know, I mean, emotionally, it was a staple of the community, you know, but in terms of it doing for the community, a lot of the things that schools have the potential to do, I was not so sensitive that would be the loss, you know, that it would institutionally, that it was going to be deprive people of something that the loss of the school, I mean, that it would close would mean a lot of shifting.
But that's changed. You didn't realize that then, but now you realize.
Well, now I'm starting to. I guess I appreciate that. That it was something that people took their identity from. You know, that it has been a loss. I mean, and been perceived as that. But I hope it was stronger before core curriculum in terms of being a school than I experienced it as being. Because I think that's really shaped my consciousness a whole lot in terms of, even though I obviously could point to things that I gained from that, I think made it still a worthwhile experience. But I think I was just, lolling along in life with the church sort of being my main source of identity in terms of institutions. Mm-hmm. And not expecting a whole lot to happen. But wouldn't it would have been wonderful if more things had happened than did. Mm-hmm. But I still cherish the band experience and the warmth, you know, and the community feeling. I think it was a very tolerant, accepting. I don't know if loving is a word, but it was just a comfortable setting. And I remember dances in the gym. I don't know if it was recess or when, but just a lot of things that brought people together. And I don't remember the academics as being something that stirred me, you know, and challenged me.
So, before we close this interview, do you have any final parting thoughts?
I'm just kind of marveling at this opportunity, which I was joking about earlier, to so much has happened in my life that I don't really want to revisit. And I think I would, Asheville is kind of, it doesn't put up any strong defenses, but it was not something that I would really have spent a lot of energy trying to refocus on. And I think it's probably good. I should say I appreciate going back and acknowledging some of the things about these years that have been very positive in my life and been are definitely obviously part of who I am. So it's kind of thrilling that you're spending this time dealing with a subject that's been part of my life and kind of exciting, the coincidence that it should happen.
Yes. So
that's about it.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this interview.